again, it's something we could. Are you all set?
Recording in progress.
Yes, I am.
Very good. Thank you, Debbie. Hello, Tom and Jim.
Morning,
everyone.
Morning, everybody.
Our special council meeting of December 20th, 2022, probably the last. The whole council will have a committee meeting this afternoon for streets and sidewalks. Debbie, will you please call the roll?
Sure. Grindel?
Here.
DeGeronimo?
Here.
Narduzzi?
Here.
Tagliati?
Here.
Tracus?
Present.
Borverka?
Here.
Welchanowicz?
Here.
Very good. Thank you, Debbie. Tom, I thought, are you going, still going quail hunting later today?
I'm still going, Dave. I'm going to drive by myself and I'm going to meet them guys down there, so.
Oh, good luck then, stay safe. And I understand some awful weather's coming in here on Friday, I believe. It's all the rain that we're going to have Thursday is going to turn into ice, so I guess it could be a very treacherous, so everybody be careful.
We shut things down on Saturday. We shut it down on Saturday morning.
Did you?
Ice, people were all over. Our trucks were backing up on the ramp to get traction to get out of the ramp.
Yeah, yeah.
The valley, we did Pleasant Valley to Rockside, getting off the exit ramp because it was all ice.
Oh,
right. Cleaned up.
Everybody be careful because Friday sounds, it's going to be very windy and it's going to be difficult for any kind of snow removal type of.
Yeah, for those guys didn't get the.
Yeah, no last minute this year.
It's like, in this room, we don't have a session.
Guys. And Saturday is not going to be much better either. It's going to be pretty cold. Very good. Well, today we have, I guess, on first reading, ordinance number 2022-165, and this is the 2022 annual appropriations ordinance. Vern, the floor is yours to give us. I know you gave us quite lengthy memo on everything, but if you want to go over it.
Here, I thought it was concise, and now you're telling me it's lengthy.
Well, no, I mean, it wasn't a brief. It was.
So, thank you, Vice Mayor. Public entities are encouraged to kind of true up their amendments before the end of the year and get the final revenue estimates and expense estimates to the county one last time here. So that's the purpose of the final appropriations amendment. And just the big picture, high level, I just refer to the real concise summary on page 3 of 5 there, where it's where the TIF funds are, but at the bottom I just show total appropriations. And back this time last year when we adopted the 2022 appropriation ordinance, we appropriated $61.6 million out of the gate as the first attempt. And then not too long after, in early 22, ordinance 2022-009, we got it down to $56.5 million total appropriations. We only really did one amendment this year in the fall, and that was ordinance 2022-148. And the total appropriations went up a little bit, $57.5 million. And then here on this final true up here today, we're at $56.1 million total appropriations, but that includes $8.1 million of Highland Strike Force, which we're the fiduciary for. They're really not our expenses per se. They just funnel through our books. So I break that out and show that the total appropriations asked for as far as the city is $48 million, even rounded. And the general fund, which is the big one that most people are concerned about, the operating expenses is where the lion's share of that reduction came from, about $1 million reduction from the fall amendment from $28.2 million to $27.2 million. So that's the high level. We're basically just telling council that the administration is proposing to authorized to spend less money than what was approved in the past. All three other appropriation amendments here for 2022.
I've been correcting my memory, but when we approved that last December, was that a temporary? And then we approved, I thought it was like a temporary.
It was a final, but it was very rough.
Yeah.
We kind of trued it up more with that 2022-009, because at temporary, you've got to, you basically take what you estimate your full year expenses at, and then just throw about a fourth of that in the temporary, because you have to pass it by March 31. We had annual figures in there, so in technically it was a full year budget, but it was very, very rough at the time. And, when we, there were some questions about some of the fund balance figures and so forth, and we will true those up after December 31, and then we'll actually have actuals instead of estimates. I did explain to one council member that we some of these calculations have to assume that every dollar of appropriations is going to be spent, and that's how you have to calculate a beginning estimated beginning fund balance sometimes. And we know that we don't always spend every dollar that's appropriated. So that starting estimate of a fund balance is just an estimate because of that dynamic where the numbers going into that calculation have to assume that every dollar that's been appropriated has been spent.
Vern, ordinance 2021-157, was that the true up from 2021?
No, that was the first one for 2022. We probably had another one, 2021-156 or 158. Okay, so about that time, that was the true up 2021. This is that was the original out of the gate budget for 2022.
And that was approved by the last council. And so that was approved, had to be approved in December last year.
Correct.
And then that 2022-009, was that January? Then we with the new.
Yeah, because we couldn't have had a 2022 number in 2021.
Yeah. So, did you anticipate a kind of a revision early this year too, or is this these numbers?
No, I think we're pretty good. We shouldn't need. Megan, I spent a lot of time. I apologize for the. This revision only getting out last night. You can see everything in yellow in the last columns are the figures that are different from the previous ones. And you can see there's a lot of yellow in these columns. So there's a lot of changes, but you know, John used to quote, hey, we're just moving money around. We didn't increase appropriations. In fact, this document before you is proposing to decrease appropriations, and appropriation is the maximum amount that can be spent. So it's you know, some jokingly say that, you know, governmental finance is just a shell game. Just keep moving money from fund to fund and transfers and advances. And I wouldn't go that far and call it a shell game, but it is a lot of movement of money, and it's why a lot of private sector accountants say that it's such a different world, that one, they couldn't do the governmental accounting side, and B, they don't want to because of the complexity of it compared to the private sector.
So when John was the finance director, the final one wasn't as accurate, as accurate or precise as this one. It was just always a little general more than what we...
I need to speak to that of how accurate it was. I got to think you guys were trying to true it up in the same process we went through. I mean, Maggie and I went through line by line. We were here to 8, 9 o'clock on a couple nights, and just line by line, account by account. Okay, what do we think we're going to spend through the end of the year? And I didn't explain to the council member that December is a prepay month, not a two pay month. So that's a little unique for December. We catch up with the pay for payouts that council authorized. What was it? 82,000, I think it was. That was authorized for the vacation buyouts. But then we also this year the dynamic of we just settled with the two police unions recently, and one of the terms and conditions there was a 3% retroactive to the first of the year. And of course they don't want to wait till January for that. So we, Maggie and payroll, have to calculate that into one of the three December payrolls so that they get an extra big check because they get the 3% retroactive to the beginning of the year. So we do spend a little bit more money in December because of that third pay, because of those other two dynamics that I just mentioned. But in the aggregate, we were still able to reduce the general fund appropriation by $1 million from the last time.
I know Chandler did have many more amended appropriations during the year. It seemed like almost every month, or maybe every other month, we were amending the appropriations right at that time.
Yeah, I don't know. We try to get it, I won't say more accurate, but just get it framed in differently up front so that obviously it kind of worked in 2022, because outside of that first one, we only had to amend it in the fall. One time we got all the way to October, I think it was, before we had to amend it. So I think it's just easier rather than coming back to council every month, every 2 months. Hey, we need an amendment, we need an amendment. Just like, no, let's just try to get it as accurate in the forecast as we can up front. And that way we don't have to come back to you as many times for an amendment.
Thank you. Any other questions for Vern from the council or from Jim or from Tom?
The only comment I would have is there's a lot of yellow on this page, and in the future, if it would be possible to use a different color perhaps to indicate increases as opposed to decreases so that you could look over it with a little more ease to know what's gone up and what's gone down rather than just yellow.
Sure, we could always try to figure out one of your markers, Dave.
Sure. And we got to finish at home, I'll bring in.
Yeah, we could look at that. The only ones you have to look at are the ones from the 148 ordinance to the 165 ordinance. That's just the differences from the last time. We could look at trying to do some color coding system, sure.
And what do we have our municipal income tax collection estimated at the year end?
We trued it up to actual, which I had to get out of town Thursday last week, so I didn't get the chance to update council. But you recall, we had a really good October income tax collections and a real good November, and we thought, oh my gosh, we're back on a roll. Fourth quarter is going to knock it out of the park. We just have another strong December, and we could at least maybe equal last year's $35 million, if not exceed it. And December fell through the floor. It was only about a $2 million collection. So the final number for 2022 is $34.4 million. It ended up being down about $600,000. I'll have details in my report this weekend. So we trued up the revenue estimate for the 22 appropriations here for 165 to within a couple hundred thousand of actual $34.4 million.
We're going to be conservative going forward also, just because still there's a lot of talking of different businesses and different employees. There's no certainty as to how they're accounting, how they're keeping track of everything, but it's still, they're still adjusting. Some companies are to the person, to the location, nobody is
millions.
He wants to say,
I don't know what happened, but it's
yeah, I go with all 10 chair things.
Anyway, the point being is that we're still going to be conservative in our forecasting because those things are getting off ahead of your skis. So, fortunately, compared to what people had predicted, beginning of the year, we did pretty well, but we're not going to rest on our own. We're doing a lot of things. We're going to monitor this closer because that's how we have to do. So, but we're blessed to be able to have a year of uncertainty.
Any other questions? Entertain a motion there to read, title only.
22-22.
This is ordinance number 2022-165.
So moved.
Moved by Jim. Do we have a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Debbie?
2022 annual appropriations ordinance.
To suspend?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Motion to adopt.
Second.
Debbie, call the roll, please.
Sure. DeGeronimo?
Yes.
Grindel?
Yes.
Narduzzi?
Yes.
Tagliati?
No.
Tracus?
Aye.
Vavrka?
Yes.
Welchanowicz?
Yes.
And the ordinance passes 6-1. Ordinance number 2022-166. This is the 2023 annual appropriations ordinance. Vern, the floor is yours.
Yep, same document we just reviewed, just different here. This is 2023 looking forward. We reviewed that operating budget pretty thoroughly in November, so there shouldn't be any surprises there. Debt service is fairly fixed. We didn't have to quite appropriate 100% of our fixed debt service this year because those funds had a couple dollars in them that were able to apply to the 2023 debt service, and then capital were able to fund just under $10 million of capital. And again, remember we had that meeting in early December where we said that we agreed Maggie and I would kind of just rough in what we thought we were comfortable with based on some initial estimates, and that Council Mayor and Finance Team, we would do a deeper dive Q1 2023 to make some harder decisions about capital, because right now we just did the 2023 appropriations amendment budget, assuming no new borrowing. But if that changes, obviously the budget parameters will change as well. That's it, high level.
I think hopefully we'll, with the engineer's office, we'll get those bids out on some of those projects so we have a better idea. Council can make a decision. Is this really such a good pricing, everything, that we take advantage and get it done this year? Do we have to borrow a little bit, or do we just
it'll go with factor pricing,
yeah,
function, in general, we do the impact on the area. There'll be a number of different items.
Yeah,
our goal is to get those bids out as early as possible in 2023 so that we can make some decisions.
That'll be a plus, because I don't think we've had last few years, it seems like the bidding was going out, you know, late spring or summertime, and by that time a lot of companies already had, you know, had already made commitments.
Well, until the maintenance guy, I guess we're better off, because if the price were fixed down until...
That's true.
So that's true. It's, you know, it's a blessing and a curse.
Yeah, yeah.
And it could work your favor if you're bidding out that late in the year, where the contractors, they know that work's not going to be completed that calendar year, and they're kind of lining up work for the following year.
You get them started at least in that year. Yeah.
I don't see any big anomalies in terms of pricing. Some of the contractors, they might see differently, but right now I don't see any adjustments today.
Mm-hmm. Any questions for our finance director?
Well, the mayor, it's always an administration watch.
Or the mayor.
Yeah. I and Dennis, we just put it together. So.
Well, I'll just ask Vern, the memo that was sent earlier, unencumbered cash.
Yeah.
So this document came out first, estimated unencumbered cash, 1123, 7.9 million.
Right.
What we just approved, adjusted now, that has 6.1 million.
Right.
So I don't know. Those would be, and then the financial analysis that was put together has an end of year estimated of 15.6 million.
No, that's just through October.
Yeah, that's through October, and that was a question asked, how can we get from 15 million at the end of October to 7 or 6 or whatever number you pick, and that gets back to the response I gave a little earlier, that these beginning balances on these spreadsheets have to assume that every dollar that was appropriated in 2022 was spent, and that causes this number, this 7.8 million, probably to be a little artificially low. Even though we are going to spend more in December than you do in a typical month, so between that dynamic plus that dynamic of having to, the calculation assumes that every dollar spent, every dollar appropriated is spent, becomes your balance. But it's on those documents in the back of the, let's go to the, it's after the actual five pages of the appropriation, I'll give you a, it's a two-page document that shows every fund with beginning unencumbered balance, all the revenue and transfers and advances in, and then all the appropriations and all the transfers out, and that leaves you with a balance, estimated balance at the end of a fiscal year. That ending balance assumes that every dollar of revenue came in, every dollar that was appropriated was spent, and that's not always the case. So that's why I said come January, when we have the actual numbers, we will true those up, and then we'll be able to throw in column one an actual instead of an estimate at that time.
They will all be equal, these three numbers. I mean, if you're doing look back here.
Yeah. Once they're actual, then they're all equal.
So we feel good with the six or seven?
Hopefully that's both are low.
Okay.
Because at with $15 million at the end of October unencumbered, a lot of that dynamic was due to the fact that we had appropriated $12, $13 million of capital and infrastructure this year, but dollars, as far as writing checks, we didn't write $12 or $13 million worth of checks this year. Some of that will carry over into next year. So that unencumbered cash balance is a little high because of not paying out for all the capital and infrastructure that we have appropriated. And that gets to the differences of timing between when something is appropriated versus when you're actually writing the check, and that could be in two different fiscal years.
Okay.
It takes a while to figure out the whole nuances of governmental accounting, and it's fascinating, it's interesting, but it's also why a lot of people in your shoe, the private sector, says, you know, I don't want anything to do with it. It's too crazy.
The timing is important.
Yeah. Well, that's why our books are, we do them in cash, because Mayor and I tend to manage for cash, but we can pour it on a GAAP basis, and they have to be accrual, modified accrual, and an accountant's in here. We don't want to get in the weeds, but yeah, statements are presented in a lot of different formats, and it really takes some analysis to figure out what they're really saying.
But that, Councilman DeGeronimo, that was one of my concerns, and Vern and I exchanged a number of emails too, so I can try to get a better understanding of it. And if you look at that statement of cash flows that you had there, between 2016 and 2021, our end of year unencumbered cash balance averaged approximately $15.4 million. And now we're estimating that at the end of 2023, we're going to be at $5.3 million. And I know that's, you know, Vern says it's off a little bit, but I don't believe it to be off by magnitude of $10 million. The other concerning thing is that we're not putting any funds into our rainy day fund, and we're only putting $250,000 into our self-insurance fund. So we are leaving the city at the end of next year with very little unencumbered cash, which is very concerning.
Well, one, we have talked to council about getting that liability insurance policy, and CBIZ actually has some updates for us. Dennis and I and Maggie are meeting with CBIZ tomorrow morning to get that in. And if you recall, in the insurance line on the document you have before you, we increased that number significantly from the 125,000 plus or minus that we paid this year. I believe we added another 150,000 on that line. So to cover if we get in 2023, that liability policy, that kind of negates the need for a large increase in or appropriation into the to the self-insurance fund. As far as unencumbered cash balance, look, you know, we got everybody here at the table and two council members on the line. I could go pull out an encumbrance report, and we could sit here for an hour if we want, and I'll bet between the nine of us, you know, we could pull out any number of millions of dollars out of the encumbrance report and free up money to go to increase that unencumbered cash balance if we so desired. It serves a purpose. It tucks the money away for the uses that were approved. And I guess if the theorists would say, you know, if your unencumbered cash balance is getting so high, government entity, pick the entity, then maybe you're taxing your people too much, because the purpose of government is not to accumulate cash on top of cash on top of cash. It's to tax people at a reasonable level and provide a requisite amount of services that can be sustained by that tax level. So the private sector, yeah, profitability, return on equity, that those are the goals. But in the public sector, it's to provide a service. And as conservative as we are around the table financially, and we like to see those strong cash balances, and we like to laud that, you know, when they start getting too high, it calls into question, do you have too much money if your cash is getting that high? So there's arguments on all sides of the table.
So when you set money aside, like for fire, you know, for fire, that's encumber then. So
right,
that's not included in that. So we, so you take that, there'll be quite a bit.
You look at customers in time, Tagliati citing the unencumbered cash balance going to be projected to be lower than what it was historically in the last 5 or 6 years. But if you also look at the year-end encumbrances on that report, they were in that $10 to $15 million range some years. That's the POs that were in place at the end of the year. Now they're routinely over 20, even 25 million.
So we're setting money aside like for garbage, you know, for the garbage truck, for fire equipment or trucks and ambulances.
If it's encumbered, that means the money is there and set aside for that purpose. So for all practical purposes, if the number on that document is 25 million, if we have 40 million in cash and 25 million of encumbrances, 15 million of unencumbered cash, that 25 million that's encumbered, it's there to be used for those purposes that it was appropriated for. And that's the whole purpose of governmental accounting and finance, using using purchase orders and encumbrances, because without that, the less disciplined organizations will end up spending money they really don't have. And this is the check and balance in place in the public sector to prevent that. So I'd rather have, at least in the short run, too much money encumbered than not enough. It provides that little safety cushion. I agree with previous finance director Barrys, who said, look, I tried to set my budgets where I underestimated the revenue and overestimated the expenditures. That way, I'm covered two ways. My revenue doesn't quite hit what I thought. I'm covered there because I estimated low to begin with, and I kind of estimated high on the expenses, and the goal was to bring them in a little less than. So I got cushioned two ways, and I'm safe to say that, you know, that's the same with 22-166 here for the 2023 annual appropriations ordinance. I mayor alluded to the economy 2023. We're just going to forecast the revenue side being just very, very conservative. I'm not forecasting any increases per se, and we'll monitor and adjust as needed through the course of the year. That's all we can do.
Hopefully, we can expect maybe January, February, when we have a policy there, that's an insurance policy that will cover us from.
Yeah, so you have to have a covered balance as well as the cash. You can't just pull out cash and say, that's a snapshot, but without the overall picture, you're missing some of the different dynamics of how we operate, how public accounting operates. So.
And I think the overall picture shows us that the things that we have encumbered, the council has determined that those are priorities, and that is essentially money that's set aside to be spent on those priorities. And, you know, we sit around this table and we talk about all of the infrastructure projects and all the needs that we have and the possibility of borrowing $5 to $10 to $20 million worth of money to pay for these and take care of the infrastructure needs that are current and in the near future. And meanwhile, we have 5.3 unencumbered as opposed to in the past when we had 15 on average. It's leaving the city.
We have more encumbered.
No, we have more needs that are current and will be coming current in the very near future.
Several people got to determine that. We'll give direction to it as administration and the finance department, but ultimately, council's the only people that can spend the money. So if we appropriate all that money for all those opportunities, and that's what we do as a dynamic, living, breathing document, but you also have the flexibility to change that. You also have the flexibility to amend it. So it's not a one-shot number. It's a overall dynamic that fortunately, as the finance director stated, we're blessed in this community right now financially to have that flexibility. With all the turmoil in the uncertain economy, we've been fortunate to be, the person say, hold our own. We're holding our own. So it's we're fortunate to be in that position. And that's the dynamic just explained by the financial, how we operate it in terms of appropriation cash. It's all cash is there. So
my big concern is that meeting that you're going to have with Steve is hopefully there's a product there so that we can, a policy that we can have. I think Dale has been a concern of yours too in case another big lawsuit that is.
Well, 30 years ago when we started the self-insurance fund, it was because we were putting that cash, we were putting into a new insurance, and we had nothing to show for it yet.
Yeah.
And we banked all that money, and then somehow it got depleted, and lack of discipline, maybe, or lack of vision. But bottom line is, we had a very unfortunate situation that just exposed us. And so now we're trying to react to that situation. So how we end up with some sure insurance and not be able to bank that cash because of that unfortunate incident.
Yeah.
So,
well, how about benchmarking with other communities? I mean, I think we're kind of like the niche right here. It's hard to do it. So I can look at trends and say, well, our percentage, our ratio of unencumbered to encumbered has changed, and that's our trend. But we're kind of keeping the programs in place. But how does that compare to any other community? I don't know if anyone's done that.
I don't think that look at communities are spending $10 million on capital.
Right. And even if you said, well, they are, but they could be borrowed heavily. So I'll look out. I don't know. I think all the cappers are up. I'll take a stab at that and try to see if there's at least that, you know, they have some, you know, hey, this is our trend. It's working for us. But if there's any other benchmark that we can grab from, if there's resources out there.
Right. Other communities, too, they depend upon the state or federal funds, too, to get them through on some projects on that where we apply many a times hoping to get some aid from those, and we don't get. That's how it was when I was on school board, the same way in those years. Their communities would get a lot more money from the lottery, independents would get very little.
And watch, if you do check other communities, how some of their statements could be a little skewed right now because of what Vice Mayor Mandel alluded to, that ARPA money. Yeah, we got $750,000, which is $750,000 more than zero, so we're glad they have it. But other communities that are not as well off as independents got a lot.
$1 million.
Cleveland, $1 billion, over $500 million. Lakewood, I think was $48 million. Parma, $27 million. So some of their books could be a little skewed right now because of that one time.
Yeah, those are also some of the largest cities in the state of Ohio.
But even smaller ones would be millions of dollars.
Yeah.
I mean, that works one time. We don't have that. We don't have that dependency on outside revenues, government sources. And so in that respect, we're very disciplined in terms of how this all comes together. And most communities would like to be in that position, let's put it that way.
And I respect what the concern about some projected unencumbered cash balances, but one, there's a number of metrics to look at, and two, I as much of a critic as Moody's as anybody, because I think back in the 2007-2006 era, they were touting all these derivative instruments as being so great, and then the world imploded, and they found out that their ratings were not worth it. But it is what it is, and we just did go through the ratings process this month with Moody's, and we were threatened with a downgrade because they had maybe some of the same concerns that you did, Councilperson Tagliati. But after the material we submitted to them, after the actual ratings call and then the follow-up materials that we followed up with, you got the word that the firm, our AA1 rating. So, yeah, we could always pick apart this little thing or that little figure, but in the aggregate, when you have a Moody's saying, you know what, City of Independence is still deserving of the second best credit rating ever. And to get that top credit rating, it's not impossible because there are a few public sector entities that do have that AAA credit rating. But they're in such unique circumstances that it's just the bar set very high. So out of the 12 or 15 different levels that you can be at, that AA1, the second highest credit rating just affirmed this month, it's saying in the aggregate that, you know, City of Independence, you're doing okay. You're on the right track. Keep it up.
Yeah, we reduced our debt $10 million in the last 3 years. We just went through a number of audits this year. The finance department's been extremely taxed in terms of all the different elements that we've got to deal with either the audits, the 10-year audit, the Moody's rating. I mean, so you can't say enough about the finance director, finance department, the team that we've assembled to navigate through this for all of us, both administration and council. So we are very fortunate.
So this coming year with Zupka and I was going to be doing it for 2022?
Correct.
And so it should ease the burden a little bit. It's not going to be as taxing as it was last year when the state
audit it will, but then it won't because they're new to the city. They never did this before. So they're starting from square one. That's where you got in that Chuni and Benicia. Yeah, they had the highest bid, so they weren't taken, but they had our contract for 10 years. So when they came in after 2-3 years, they knew Maggie, they knew Dennis, they knew Tom, now they knew me, and it was an existing client. So Zupka's coming in brand new, so it's kind of like we got to hold their hand from day one, but at least what we have going for us in 2023 is the fact that whole Haida Strike Force audit is done and over with and put to bed. Maggie just did a tremendous job. I'll use the words fighting them off because really they were coming after us for some things that we felt were unwarranted. And rather than just rolling over, which would have been the easy thing to do from a time perspective, Maggie was here many nights late saying, no, I'm going to put the numbers together because I know we're not wrong. And she did that, and it took a lot of time. But I know Councilman Narduzzi is probably looking at his watch saying, hey, 9:50's coming up. Shut up. Let's get going here.
Is that a picture of a quail? They're waiting for
Doc. Vernon, when the previous council paid the $3 million of loans, did that come out of unencumbered?
Yeah, once council agreed to, we had to encumber it and put a PO for it. But yeah, it was extra cash that we had that was costing us a lot more than what yields were yielding on our money at the time. So it made sense, and we're in a good position debt-wise and stuff. And we're going to end this year about $21 million total debt, and seventeen years ago in 2005, we ended with $39.9 million of debt. So we had almost twice as much debt 17 years ago when our all governmental funds revenue was $26 million, about half of what it is now. So
as we had Rockside and we had the
facility,
the facility.
Correct. And all that debt on our books was our debt, at least the debts that's on the school's book. was voted, they get the debts on their books, but they are getting the property taxes that the people agreed to vote themselves. When we agreed to borrow the $15 million to put into the facility, that was on the city's dime to pay back. That was not voter approved or voter paid debt. So yeah, we're always, there's always room for improvement, but I think that Councilman DeGeronimo's question about comparing to other communities, the things that we view as challenges and hurdles and obstacles other communities would look at as good fortune. It's like, you know, the family struggling on $75,000 a year and then having no sympathy for the family that makes $750,000 a year saying, oh my gosh, my kids in private schools and I have my cars and my big houses and I still can't make ends meet on $750,000, you know, so person making $75,000 has no sympathy for that person, and I'm not saying we spend our money wantonly, but we're in a good position compared to other communities, most ways you slice it.
Any other questions?
Well, we have a lot of decisions to make in 2023.
All right, doesn't minimize the challenges ahead for sure.
Yeah, we can't just look at all our infrastructure. We've got capital, we've got facilities. We have to review. There's a whole variety of things we have to explore and decide on. So
I think we're at the crossroads when it comes to our campus here and what we need.
And we have to, you know, be respectful of the schools and what's going on in there. I got together, so it's a lot of different dynamics that are.
And we still have to look at opportunities, whether it's West Quadrant or Cloverleaf, or whatever. We have to make sure that we're not asleep at the switch.
We have to be prepared to take advantage of an opportunity that comes our way. And that's the fact.
Yeah, just to echo what the mayor said, I proposed a few ideas, and I agreed to defer them to this other later discussion once we see the total, the totality of what we're all looking at sometime later next year. I think, Jim, you have some good projects there, Jim, that we need to look at closer, especially when it comes to the security in your neighborhoods and things of that nature. I think we need to, you know, keep a handle on that too, because that's one of the main. Our main job is to make sure that the residents are safe in their homes and in the community here. And we've done a great job, Mayor. Your appointment with Chief Butler's been, I mean, you can see a big turnaround in the whole attitude as far as that department goes and everything.
Yeah, it's been thanks to council support, and we've been able to do a lot of good things in the police department this year. So yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. Well, I guess we will entertain then. I'll make a motion, unless there's any other comments or questions before we handle this. I'll make a motion to read ordinance number 2022-166, title only. Do a second.
Second.
Second by Dale. All in favor?
Aye.
2023 annual appropriation ordinance.
Well, Debbie, you wish every ordinance had a title that long.
Really?
motion to suspend.
Second.
Aye.
Aye. Debbie, call the roll, please.
Motion to adopt first.
Oh, yeah. I'll make a move to adopt the ordinance.
Second.
I'm sorry.
Okay. Now
I'll second.
I'll call the roll now. DeGeronimo.
Yes.
Grenzel.
Yes.
Narduzzi.
Yes.
Tagliati.
No.
Trakas.
Aye.
Vavrka?
Yes.
Welchanowicz?
Yes.
Okay. And ordinance number 2022-166 passes 6-1.
I speak on behalf of Maggie, Dennis, Molly, and Lisa. Thank you, Council and Mayor, for both of those. And we'll be here next week, still working away, and we hit the ground running in 2023, ready to help U7, U8 use the information that our department can provide to make good decisions for this community.
That's good. Really, I think the finance department, Maggie, Dennis, and the team, and the finance director, as all of you will attest to, have been the most transparency person in terms of fluid, in terms of passing out information throughout the year. So I think that's why it's easier for the majority of council to adopt this legislation, because you have so much information throughout the year that to look at, to participate in, to make good decisions, that I can't say enough about the way Vern and the department make it easier on everyone to do their jobs. And all we have to decide, council has to, is how you want to steer the boat. So I can't, but I do thank the majority of council for all their continuous support in making sure that this ship runs and we're going the right direction. So thank you. 2023 is going to be another exciting year and beyond. We've got, there's projects we're planning right now for 24, 25. It's plus we have a lot of different interesting opportunities that lay at our feet for 2023. So it's going to be exciting.
And the fact that we have frequent updates as far as adjustments, I think that Councilman Togliatti's idea is a great one. The fact that we reflect by color of the ups or the downs rather than everything yellow. I think that would be helpful to me, and also would be, you know, would jump out at you when we're looking at those adjustments that are made. So I would strongly concur that we do that, or that you do that, that we can look at that.
I think I'd like to comment too. I mean, I appreciate on behalf of council, behalf myself, all the work Maggie does and Dennis and your support team, the other women that work in the department. They've done a tremendous job. That nowadays with the how rapidly things change and how requirements change, maybe you could probably write a book on how things have changed from 2000 to 2022 as far as that goes. And that's the one constant. We have somebody here that has the historical perspective that you're able to probably recall, you know, events and things that happened in the past that are invaluable for Vern, because Vern's, you know, has been here a relatively short time compared to Maggie and everything. So we appreciate everything that you bring and Dennis brings in his experience too, and rely on your expertise for us to do our job, because we're part-timers and we rely on the yeah, wow, that's simple. That's yeah, but you know, that like I say, it's the team effort. And a lot of times, you know, thank you, that doesn't, so we don't, you know, express our appreciation probably nearly enough. But we do appreciate you know, you get all these compliments from, you know, from relatives and friends that come through the city or anything, but it's takes a whole network
team effort.
Yeah,
to make sure this keeps going, because we are fortunate to have so much opportunity ahead of us and so much capacity to do so many good things for so many people, and yet not forget the services we provide, the level of services we provide for people of all ages.
Yeah.
And it's very identifiable when you see the December month, when you see it between the kids and the seniors and all the different dynamics. It's exciting to know that all your efforts all year long culminate in the fun and the attitudes of so many people. And and go to the park and you see these people are just, the comments are just the efforts that go into all these things. But today it's finance department, and our sincere appreciation for their efforts, and the finance director has done a phenomenal job along with his team.
Very good. Well, I guess we're ready to entertain motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Moved by Dale, second.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Merry Christmas, everyone. God bless you.
Recording
stopped. Merry Christmas, everybody.
3 o'clock.
We'll be back.
For those